morning has broke. My name is Lucy Cooper. I've spent 10 years now making award-winning podcasts and documentaries, such as A History of Balls, From Johnny to Zoe to Michael, Cheese Nightmares, and Hide the Canoe, The John Darwin Story. Now I'm turning my attention to religion, the religion of my childhood, Christianity. As flag bearer for the local brownies at Sunday service, I saw a lot of things when the flag wasn't in the way. I heard a lot of things, some great sermons, inspiring stories. I met a lot of kind people, nans mostly, but I always left feeling uplifted. But it's not 1990 anymore, and I had to leave the brownies. My decision. The world has changed. We're living in less innocent, more narcissistic times. And so I ask you, is there room for God in a world of bum implants and super yachts? I got in touch with three vicars who work in parishes in the northeast of England, and I asked if I could interview them. This show focuses on them and those around them in their everyday lives over the course of a year, to find out what keeps them working for the man upstairs. God. My name is Lucy Cooper, and this is God's Work. My first visit this week was to Sunderland West, where they were hosting a monthly social for the elder members of the parish. Personally, I'm not very good at talking to old people. They find me dull. Someone who is very good at talking to them, though, is Reverend Richard Crisp, as I discovered when I sat down for a cuppa at his community tea party.
Are you having a nice time?
Oh, yes.
Good.
Tea for you, Mary? And could I tempt you to a soft salmon sandwich? They're crustless.
No, thank you, Reverend Crisps.
It's crisp, Mary, as in one, not the whole bag.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't worry about it, Mary. I'm a newbie here. That's what today is for, so we can all get to know each other, break bread together. And speaking of bread, can I interest you, Clive, in a soft salmon sandwich? They're crustless.
Have you done this event before then, Richard?
Yes, Lucy, yes. We would do this once a month in South Kent, have the older ones around for tea and soft foods. It's a good way of bringing people together so that they don't end up spending day after day home alone.
And for an old person, home alone is not fun. It's not like the film, you see.
No. The old person home alone wouldn't have comedy burglars and a house full of tricks. It would probably just be an old man eating soup and crying. Now, we're just waiting for our friend Sheila to arrive. She's the last of the gang. It is just Sheila left, isn't it, Mary?
Well, yes, Reverend Crisp. Well, she's not here yet.
It's crisp, Mary. You can remember it by thinking of one single crisp.
Sorry. Well, she should be here by now, though, Reverend. She only lives down the road.
Oh, well, not to worry. Johnny, our volunteer driver, is picking her up. It's probably just the traffic. It can be very busy at 11 a.m. on a Wednesday.
Over at St Cuthbert's in Jarrow, Wilson Penn was involved in his own community outreach programme. Using his favourite musical shows as bait, he hoped to reel the teens through the doors. The fishing analogy there reminds me of my own self-penned musical, Cast Off Boys, a show about the fishermen of North Devon, featuring 11 original sea shanties, also penned by me.
Close every door to me, hide all the world from me, bar all the windows and shut out the light.
Wow.
Do what you want with me, hate me and laugh at me.
Wow.
Darken my daytime and torture my night.
Wow.
Okay, stop. Guy, can you please not say wow after every line? It's very off-putting.
Oh, sorry, Noodle, I wasn't aware I was doing that. I was just... Wow! They're going to love it!
Really?
Yes, really. These outreach teams have probably never even heard of Joseph, and it's a very exciting thing to imagine their first experience of hearing it. It's moving.
Oh, so it wasn't... I mean, you weren't enthralled by my performance, then?
No, it was. It's a 50-50 split on the excitement front between you and the kids. That came out wrong.
So what exactly is your plan, Wilson, for Joseph and the outreach kids?
Well, first off, Joseph and the Outreach Kids would be a wonderful name for a new musical. Lucy, Guy, write that down.
What are you doing?
But it's just an excerpt from Joseph. We've only got a week, so we're not expecting West End quality. No, these kids have been let down. And what I'm offering is a safe environment for them to find their voices and to try to express themselves.
Give them confidence.
Even more than that, Lucy. It's going to teach them that things that seem impossible, things that seem frightening, are doable. Putting on a show can do more for the broken spirit of a young person than anything else.
They have something to aim for. Yeah. A goal. Plus they're working together, relying on each other. It's character building.
Exactly. But look, I'm realistic. I know these are tough kids, but I'm ready for that. I'm going to be like Sidney Poitier in To Sir With Love.
Yeah, there are some parallels there.
Meanwhile, Reverend Bill Tinsey, who was born and bred in Newcastle-upon-Tyne and has worked there his whole professional life, could never be accused of making things easy for himself when it came to community outreach. A bit like when I offered my local care home residents free haircuts while having no actual qualifications in hairdressing. I did fringes for everyone. Bill, this doesn't look like your usual church activity. Can you tell us what's going on?
Well, what your listeners are no doubt hearing, Lucy, is the sound of dogs. 8 dogs!
Sorry, Reverend. I think you mean a Labrador, a collie, 2 pugs, a poodle and 3 mongrels.
Well, yes.
No, it's just you're saying dogs. And I think it's a bit of a generalisation, actually, that's all.
Oh, apologies. Lucy, this is Nick from Animal Rescue.
Hi, Nick.
Hello, nice to meet you.
Rebecca saw a photo on Facebook of dogs from Nick's shelter that needed rehoming. And
we
thought, you know, all creatures great and small, aren't they great? This one, for example, you can hardly see. Stick it in your handbag. Whereas this one is the size of a Shetland pony, aren't you?
Oh, be careful talking to Bruce, Reverend. Too much affection does give him the runs.
So basically, you're helping Nick to find homes for all the dogs.
Well, we do our fair share of work in the community, but we never thought of including animals in it before. But as I said to Bill, rehoming an animal can be just as much a part of God's work as a jumble sale or the harvest festival.
It's a good point, isn't it? When Rebecca first said that to me, I said, that's a good point, Rebecca.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I called Nick, and here we are today. People might not even know they want a dog until they see their sweet little faces or big slobbery face in Bruce's case. Aye. But even he deserves a chance of a new home. It's not his fault he lost an eye. How did he lose that eye, Nick? Was he in a fight?
No, just came out.
And I'm building my sermon today, Lucy, around God and his love for all his creatures on earth. I'm letting people know the value of opening their hearts to these wonderful furry friends. And we'll have a big finish with, you know, all things bright and beautiful.
Aye, and then as soon as they leave the church, they see the dogs and bam, heartstrings plucked. So your job, Nick, is just to seal the deal?
No. If they actually show an interest in a dog, that's when the real work starts, I'm afraid.
How do you mean?
Well, wanting the dog is the easy bit. I'm afraid there's the forms, the logistics, well, yes. The forms.
Well, yes, yes, but all that aside, the most important thing at the end of the day is we're going to find loving homes for these lovely dogs.
No, I'm going to have to disagree with you there, Reverend. It's all well and good wanting to take a dog home, but what if you don't have the space? What do you think happens when Rover's got no room to stretch its legs?
You take him to the park? Or her? I mean, Rover might be a bisexual name, I'm not sure.
You mean unisex, Bill? I've told you before, don't say words if you're not sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you take him to the park. Every day for a week. But then one day, you get home from work and you're tired. It's been a long day. So you tell yourself, oh, I'll just skip the walk tonight. Then you notice that your plants are getting dug up and the neighbours start complaining about the whining at night. And that's when you decide. That's when you say to yourself, I think it's better if he goes back to where he came from. And then Rover comes back to me. And now he's even more damaged, even harder to rehome. So that's why I ask the hard questions. That's why I bring the forms. And that's why I bring the checklist.
What exactly is on that checklist, Nick?
Well, for example, can they afford the food? The number of times a dog has got the runs because it's on a diet of shredded wheat and mini cheddars. Next up, size of owner in relation to canine.
How is that it's, something...
Sorry, I am talking.
Sorry.
Is that all right?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
No, I was just... You're interrupting my flow and...
No, you go.
Next up, size of owner in relation to canine. Is he or she able to restrain the dog in an emergency situation? And then, garden. Do you have one? If so, how big is your garden? And don't lie to me, because I brought this measuring tape along so we can get a pretty good idea of accurate sizings.
Right.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I must go clean out Bruce's nostrils before people arrive. They're completely overflowing with snot. It's all over the floor, actually, look. Ooh, you might want to clean your shoe off there, Reverend.
Oh, dear.
Good luck with the sermon.
Well, that's told us, hasn't it?
Back at Reverend Richard Crisp's, the party for the very old was in full swing, and the absence of Sheila meant more sandwiches and crisps for everyone else. But where was she? Richard quizzed Johnny, the volunteer driver, on her whereabouts.
So just to clarify, Johnny, she's not there or she's not answering?
Both. Either. And I was trying for at least half an hour.
You were knocking for half an hour?
Yeah.
Were you doing it constantly? Or did you have breaks?
Why does that matter?
Well, Johnny, to an elderly woman, there's a big difference between hearing the slow, patient knock of a concerned community volunteer and the constant banging of a dangerous stranger. Was it this? Or this? Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Was it this? See, that one's even softer, Johnny.
Yeah, I
or
see.
This? It is.
Reverend, can you just stop for a second?
Sorry.
It was, I think I did like a hard and fast knock, and it was as loud, very loud.
Oh, no, poor Sheila. Is she okay, do you think, Reverend Chip?
She'll be fine, Mary. She probably just couldn't hear the door. She's dead, Julian. You know it, and I know it.
You can't know for sure, Richard. I mean, she could have just forgotten this was happening today and gone out.
Well, I'm not convinced, Julian. Every week in my last parish, I'd hear the same thing. Thank you for doing this, Reverend. I was in all week on my own. Well, thanks, old boy. I haven't seen a human face since last Wednesday. It was heartbreaking, Julian. Right, we're going round there.
But, Richard, the other guests...
will be fine, Julian. They have enough soft food here to last them a fortnight. We need to go and check on her. OK, listen up, gang. We're just going over to check on Sheila.
Do you think I should come too, Reverend?
No, Mary, no, no. This day is about enjoying yourself. Now you tuck into that jelly and we'll be back in no time.
Back at St Cuthbert's, and things were similarly tense as Wilson attempted to talk to the young people about his musical vision. I enjoy talking to young people, but it is tiring having to look interested in all the nonsense they come out with.
I'm sick for lunch tonight.
Okay, settle down, everybody. So, as you guys know, we're going to be putting on a small excerpt from Joseph and his amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Joseph is a wonderful show and inspired by one of my favorite stories in the Bible. We'll be putting it on for the other groups in outreach and for any of your friends and family that might like to join us. What did I say?
Do you really think our parents will come to this?
Like, my dad's going to sit through an hour of singing. He'd just go off at me for being gay.
Well, that's one of the greatest compliments he could pay you. If you're not being called gay by the end of the week, we will have failed in our mission. So, who would like to play Joseph? Anyone? Anyone at all?
Why don't you play him?
Well, I'm the director. You see, everyone has their role. I'm director. Then we've got someone who, say, will be in charge of props, which unfortunately means they won't get a chance to shine on stage.
I'll do props.
Yeah, I'll do props too.
I think it's too early to decide who does props. Let's see what our singing ability is like first. Kyle, I know this might be frightening, but would you like to give us a few bars of something?
You're right, man.
No? Okay, Marnie?
Ah, go on then. Every time you hurt me, the less that I cry. Baby, we don't stand a chance. It's sad, but it's true. I'm way too good at goodbyes. I'll just leave it there.
Marnie, that's fantastic. What a beautiful voice. Wow.
I'm not singing on stage.
But you...
I'm not singing.
Okay. Anyone else? Anyone?
Meanwhile in Sunderland West with Reverend Richard Crisp, it was beginning to hit me just how much our vicars cared about their parishioners, to the extent that Richard and Julian would drive to Sheila's house and check how she was. I managed to take a couple of soft sandwiches with me for the journey, which must have looked greedy, but it was more about snacking at regular intervals to stave off a stress headache.
Hello? Hello, Sheila?
Richard, what are you doing? Why are you pulling out that window?
I'm looking for a weak point, Julian. Then maybe there's an open window round the side.
Let me just stop. Let's just keep knocking.
There's a time for knocking and a time for doing, my friend, and now is the time for doing. Aha! Here we are.
Look, Richard, wait 1 second. Now, if you go through that window, isn't it breaking and entering?
Only if I was breaking and entering in a bad way. But I'm breaking and entering in a friendly, concerned way. And besides, I'm a man of God. The police will always be on my side.
But I'm a black man, Richard, and historically, that's not exactly the same for me.
Oh!
Richard.
I'm okay.
Look, I know you know this, but take your time moving around the house. Sheila may be with God now, and if that's the case, that's never an easy thing to see.
Thank you, Julian, but I've been in this situation many times before. I'm not afraid. God goes with me.
What are you thinking, Julian?
I really hope she's okay.
Richard! Richard, what's going on?
How dare you, you terrible man!
It's okay. She's fine.
How dare you break into my home?
What's going on in there?
Sheila, Sheila, you were supposed to come to the seniors' tea party today. That's why we broke in out of concern.
That's why I broke in.
Sheila!
It's all right, Geordie. It's just the vicar and his friends.
Oh, aye. The tea party. That was today, was it? That completely slipped us mind.
Come on, Sheila, love. Come back to me.
George, give us a second, pet. Well, look, I'm very sorry to have worried you, Reverend. But in future, if I don't attend a tea party, just assume I'm busy, all right?
Absolutely. Please accept my humble apology.
Where's the key to these handcuffs?
Now, if you'll excuse us, I'm a very busy woman.
Home, I think, for us.
Yes.
Sheila was having a better time than any of us, and we could all see and hear that. The phrase, never judge a book by its cover, springs to mind. Unless it's the Bible, and then it's fair to assume you pretty much know what's happening inside. Over in concert, and Bill continued to pair parishioners with dogs following his special service. At one point, his curate Rebecca tried to set me up with a miniature schnauzer, but sadly my asthma prevents me from having a pet of my own. Technically, I could have a tortoise. But really, what would be the point?
Nick, what's the matter? Why is Amelia crying?
She doesn't have a big enough garden for Ollie the collie, so I'm afraid she's not taking him home. Ollie's already had 3 homes. He doesn't need any more emotional distress.
But Nick, she's just a little girl. She'll have time to take him for walks. You know, at least she won't be working late at the office.
Office, school, big girl, little girl, it's all the same, Reverend. There isn't enough space in the garden. She can't have it.
Does this happen a lot, Nick?
Well, I make a small girl cry on average about 4 to 5 times a week.
It seems very unfair, I must say.
It's not a matter of what's fair, Reverend. It's a matter of what's right.
How much space do you need, like? How big are these gardens supposed to be?
300 square foot, at the very least. Allow me to show you.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. OK. In this scenario, I'm a working cocker.
You said it, mate.
And this is me enjoying approximately 300 square foot. Look, I'm prancing. I'm trotting. I'm generally having a lovely time.
Good for you.
Now, 1, 2, this is me with only 250 square foot at the disposal. It's a different experience entirely. Look.
Oh, I'm a sad dog. I'm a sad, sad dog.
Oh. He's certainly painting a picture, isn't he?
What happens to the dogs, Nick, if they're not rehomed?
Well, then it's back to the shelter. Our policy is that we never put a healthy dog down, but it's getting harder to do that. We've got so many dogs at the moment.
Is that because you're not letting people take them, though, Nick? Because Sadie here wants to adopt that Labrador and she's got a massive garden, isn't that right?
Yeah, I've got a big field out the back where he can roam free.
Now, madam, you worry me there. Roam free? Is that the attitude you're taking? And don't lie to me, it's against the law to let these animals just go wherever they like. They're not teenagers, you know.
Yeah, no, I know that, but we've got a lot of space. My wife is at home most of the time.
No, sorry, it's a firm no from me.
Nick, come on. There's absolutely no reason why Sadie should not have this Labrador.
Yes, there is, Reverend. Number 7 on the checklist. Supervised exercise. These animals need constant supervision. Which reminds me, I need to take Bruce around the block so I can empty his bag. It's looking quite full down there.
Meanwhile, in Jarrow, it was time for me to visit Wilson on the day of his outreach showcase of an excerpt from Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. We've all had to work hard to impress the young'uns. I find with my teenage cousins, it's best to post 40 quid in a card once a year and have done with it. But Wilson was admirably more hands-on. I was keen to hear how he felt the outreach sessions had gone.
How's it going, Wilson, with the outreach kids?
Oh, they're just not that interested. I've been waiting for Marnie to change her mind and do a solo. I've tried to coax Kyle into a harmony, but it's not easy.
This is a huge ask of everyone, but especially of Wilson. It's hard to get results in just a week.
Guy, try telling that to God.
And how do you feel, Wilson?
I'm disappointed that I haven't achieved more, but the good news is they've agreed to stand on the stage with me, which is real progress. Let's see if I get them any further.
Ladies and gentlemen, please allow us to present an exciting excerpt from Joseph and his amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Thank you. I close my eyes, drew back the curtain to see for certain what I thought I knew. And in the east, the dawn was breaking and the world was waking. Any dream will do.
And so went the performance. I admired Wilson's ability to fashion a low-budget Technicolor dream coat from tens of multicoloured post-it notes. He must have used several packs. I had the same low-budget attitude on my musical, Cast Off Boys, where I used old nurses' uniforms and net curtains to represent the sea and sea spume, respectively. I met Wilson afterwards to talk through the performance.
Wilson, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling really positive, Lucy. I thought that was a great show.
Do you wish that they had done more?
Yeah. But, you know, I came into this project with a naive hat on and my glasses all rose-tinted. I thought I'd have these kids on stage and singing solos by the end of the first day. Particularly Marnie. Oh, goodness. She has such a great voice.
But then...
Well... What I came to realize is, getting on stage for these kids is terrifying. For them, something has to be a guaranteed success so they look cool in front of their friends. But you know, they sang. You couldn't see them very well behind the post-its, and you couldn't really hear them, but they sang. That's huge.
Excuse me, Reverend.
Oh, Marnie.
I just wanted to say, I've had a mint week. Thanks very much.
Well, thank you. Did you really have a good time?
Yeah, we all did. I love learning the songs and that. I just couldn't do a solo.
Oh, well, that's just a bit of stage fright, Marnie. I still get that sometimes myself, and I'm in front of a live audience every Sunday. Stage fright just means that you care.
Really? Oh, that's good to know. If you do one of these again, I'd sing. You know, I mean, like, I'd do a song myself, if you were thinking of coming back.
I don't see why I couldn't come back. We could do Cabaret or My Fair Lady.
Okay, I'll look those up then. All right, see you then.
Bye.
Bye, Molly.
See? The door to theatre has been open for her. And the doors to theatre are always open. Except on Sundays, when most theatres close. And that's when we're open. So.
I admired Wilson's hard work to reach out to young people, something I attempted to do with my documentary Wagwan. I have no idea if I succeeded, but in a way it doesn't matter. The important thing is to try. Someone else trying hard was Bill, trying hard to match dogs to people, over in concert.
Oh, here we are, Bruce. Back with our friends again. Hold on. Where are the other dogs?
Well, we've found them new homes, I'm pleased to say.
What? You can't have. You didn't have the forms. Who filled in the forms?
We took down all the information you need. And besides, we know everyone who took them. They come to church every week.
Oh, this is a disaster. We got dogs roaming the streets with unvetted owners. And I didn't have a chance to measure the dog-to-owner ratios.
Nick, calm down. You have to be brave. You have to let the dogs go and hope for the best. Every single one of those dogs deserves to be loved. And that means you have to let them go, even if things aren't perfect. None of them should be left sitting in a cage.
Just want them to be okay.
Aye, lad, I know that. I know we all do. And if the odd one comes back, well, it doesn't matter. It still experienced some love and kindness for a short time.
You're right, Bill. They deserve that. Every single one of them.
Yes.
Even Bruce.
Even Bruce.
Take him, Bill.
What?
You take Bruce. You've got a big back garden.
Now you heard Nick. I mean, you need to have the time to look after them. It's on the checklist, I'm sure it is. Let me see the list, Nick.
No, Reverend. Screw the list. You're absolutely right about everything. Love is more important than 300 square foot and a part-time job. And you're clearly a very caring person.
He is, Nick.
Well...
Then it would be my honour to give you Bruce. Consider him a gift.
Oh, my. He's big. He's big, isn't he? Can you get him off me, please?
Oh, Bill, he loves you.
I've never seen him throw himself at someone like that before. His eye is sparkling.
Oh, I can't breathe. I can't breathe here. Could somebody...
Uh-oh, looks like his bag's filling up again already.
Don't worry, your new daddy's going to take care of that now, Bruce. Don't you worry.
This week was a real insight into the vicar's ultimate mission, to love one's fellow man and beast. Not like that. We've seen Richard opening his home to the elderly, offering them a variety of soft foods, which I appreciated too, what with my weak left molar. Wilson having no fear of failing when wanting to help the local outreach group. He was delighted they just stood like lumps of wood on the stage. And of course Bill, making, I think, the ultimate gesture, taking the most incontinent, unattractive, furless dog you've ever seen and showing him love. That dog will haunt my dreams forever. I've been Lucy Cooper. Join me next week as we open another window on God's work. God's Work was written by Louise Ford and Yasmin Akram and was produced by Claire Broughton. It featured Rowan Atkinson, Gillian Bevan, Lizzie Dakin, Sarah Dakin, Victoria Elliott, Louise Ford, Colin Holt, Rudolph Walker and Mike Wozniak. God's Work is a Hattrick production for BBC Radio 4.
And if you'd like to find out more about what vicars do day to day, well, what they actually do, our recent series, Three Vicars Talking, with the Reverend Richard Coles, Kate.